I'm going to continue this series of messages that on being led by, or living a Spirit-led life, and I have to share that this is probably for me. There's three things that are really key to the Christian walk. One is walking in love. That's key. Jesus, he commanded us to walk in love. Two, walking in faith. The just shall live by faith. And three, being led by the Spirit of God. Those are three, for me, primary key things for the Christian. Here's the thing. You can walk in love, and I would say this, that you can't walk in love without being led by the Spirit of God. You can't, because otherwise you're doing it by yourself. And what the Scripture say is that he sent us another Comforter who is going to bring all things to our remembrance, and he's also going to help us. So without his help, you can't walk in love. And he's going to bring Scripture to your remembrance. So he's going to bring these things to your remembrance of all things that he's revealed to us. So for me, being led by the Spirit of God is so key to success as a Christian that it's so important. And there are keys, what I would say, some keys to that. And sometimes we don't miss, Pastor Judy says it this way, prompts. You know, she'll say, you're missing the prompts. There are prompts by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we're missing these prompts in our daily life. And if we could recognize them, there's keys to what I would call sensitivity to the Spirit of God. So there's some keys to being sensitive to his leading that can make us more successful. And when we miss those keys, then we miss some things. And, you know, I've been sharing, you know, we all have some experiences. And what I find is this, that when people miss it in life and they go, how come? I don't know. I have no idea why you missed it. Or why it appears that something happened that is a negative circumstance. We don't know. But I would dare say if every one of us would go back and sit down and get quiet, the Lord, by his Spirit, would reveal, you know what? He did say something to me. When I say, there's something, an illumination, a knowing that I wasn't supposed to do this. Yep, I did miss it. And I shouldn't have taken this job. I shouldn't have gone over here. I shouldn't have left at this time. I shouldn't have married this person, or I should have, or whatever. I should have done this. And every one of us, if we get honest enough, we get quiet enough, we'll say, you know what? He was speaking. And I just missed the prompt. I missed recognizing him. And I was thinking about this. I said, how do we become, you can actually start, I'll pray and get started because I'm already started. But one thing, when we say keys to sensitivity, think about this. I was sharing this. The world has spent billions of dollars on developing the intellect. Billions of dollars. The world has spent billions of dollars developing the body. How much time is being spent to develop our spirit? Because they don't even know they have one. So there's no recognition of it. They don't even know they are a spirit. And so there's a sensitivity, a keenness to one's intellect because they go after that. They study, they train, and they go after developing the intellect and the body so that it's sharp. But the key is we can become very dull in our sensitivity to God's leading because it's not being developed. And so there's some keys that we can do, but today we're just talking about recognizing the inward witness and how do you identify the leading of the Spirit, how we identify His prompts. And this is a key area. And one way is we're going to have to develop, you know how you develop a muscle? And so you become, let me ask this question. If you develop a muscle, I know one thing I used to do. You do this. Stand on this and drop here and do this for a while. Do a couple hundred of these. Up and down and up and down and drop and up and drop and up. And I'll tell you, by tomorrow morning, you're going to be aware of some muscles that you weren't aware of before. And it's the same thing in the Spirit, that when we work something, we become more aware spiritually. And how do we do that? When we pray in the Spirit, we become more aware of our spirit. And where does God communicate? He says, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, and He searches all the inward parts of the belly. So the spirit of man is the communication place. So that has to become sensitive to God and His leadings. And the only way we're going to do that is to work it like a muscle. Although it's not a muscle, you have to develop that. You have to work at becoming sensitive to the spiritual things. And so I've become more aware of this. And I was sharing something Wednesday, and we'll jump in a minute here. But one thing I've become very aware of, it just kind of rose up in me Wednesday night when I was teaching, and I said, one key thing to anything that you pursue in life is your hunger for it. And I said, if you're not hungry for that, you will never achieve it. That's for anything in life. And it also goes for spiritual things. If you are not hungry for God, then you will never reach, well, I shouldn't say never, it's going to be hard for you. You have to be hungry for something to achieve it. And Mother Dupree was sharing something Wednesday night. She jumped right in it. I was sharing it with Pastor Judy before we went out on the floor. I said, you know, this came up. I said, you have to be hungry. When there's hunger for something, change happens. When you're hungry for something, you go after it, there's a change. If you're hungry to lose weight and get in shape, you go to the gym, there's a change that happens. You can talk about it. You can say, yeah, man, I need to push away from it. I need to lighten up. But until you do something, there's no change. So there has to be a hunger for knowing the leading of the Spirit. There has to be a hunger on one's part to pursue that. We can teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach and teach. It's not about information. It's about you having a hunger for a change. And when there's a hunger, then change will happen. Even if it's just in small degrees, doesn't have to be 180, but what's happening is the ship is starting to change. It's starting to move. It's changing what? Direction. And so I'm finding that a lot of times, even in church circles, we're comfortable. There's no hunger for God. And I said, you know what? I said, I have to sit down and reflect. Every one of us, be honest, when we got saved, there was hunger for God. Hunger for the Word of God. And I said, do I still have that same hunger? I said, do I? I said, or have I allowed things to get in the way so that that hunger has restricted or hindered me from change and for some things, you know, the important things. I'm not saying that that other responsibilities aren't important. I'm not saying that at all. But if we want to have success, and success is going to come through having the Holy Spirit tell us, lead us, go here, do this, invest in this, buy this. That right there is going to lead you into success. And I mean, even what does Joshua 1:8 say? Let not this word depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it day and night. You've got to have, and let's open up here. Let's go over to the book of Romans, and we'll start here because we're going to read this scripture. But in Romans chapter 8, and we'll read verses 14, 15, and 16. But take a look at Romans chapter 8 and look at verse 5 and 6. It says here, this is the King James, for they that are after the flesh do what? Mind. They mind the things of the flesh. That's what your mind's on. See? But they that are after the Spirit, what? They mind the things of the Spirit. So that's what Joshua 1:8 is saying. Let not this book of the law depart out of thy mouth, but meditate on it. You're spiritually minded. And then he said, what does it say? Then you will have success. So you can't have success having your mind on earthly things. Although we have to. I'm saying you cannot continually go through every minute of every waking day with your mind on constantly natural things. You can't, and be successful, because you don't know enough information. You don't know enough to be a success. We've proved that. You need the Spirit of God's help to direct you and lead you to make the right choices in life. So folks will say, well, how am I supposed to do? You ask him. I don't know your schedule and I don't know your responsibilities, but if he put it in his word, then we can do it. Sometimes we're doing things that we think we have to do that the Spirit of God will say, don't do that. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. Just leave it alone. But it's going to take time to find out what I should do and not do to be a success. And those are the things, being sensitive to the Spirit of God, keys to his sensitivity. And so here, verse 6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace right here is something that's a key to sensitivity to the Spirit. When you yield to the peace of God, what does it say? When it over in, I believe it's in the book of Proverbs. I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there, but it's a familiar scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, I believe. Let me just turn over there quick. When it talks about trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding. When you go down to verse 11, it starts talking about wisdom. And it starts saying here in verse 13, talks about happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Down in verse 16, it says, length of days is in her right hand. He's talking about wisdom. And in her left hand, riches and honor. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. So peace will lead us. The Spirit of peace, Spirit of God, one, this is a key to sensitivity, it's peace. So we have to find a way to get our mind off of, find time during the day. And if your day is so filled up, then make it the nighttime. Whatever it is, you've got to find a place, just like Jesus did. Hey, he was our prototype and example here. He was pulled on all day long, but he found time to pull away and fellowship with his Father. So he knew what to do during the day. And so the same thing goes for us. If our day is full, then we need to find another time to get quiet and meditate, get unhooked from the natural mind and have a spiritual mind, you see. And let me read this. This is in the Good News Translation. See, I like this. This is the Good News Translation, more modern. It says, those who live as their human nature tells them to, so you know your human nature can tell you stuff, have their minds controlled by what the human nature wants. Though I like this. This is a modern translation, but it says the same thing, just not old English. Those who live as the Spirit tells them to have their minds controlled by what the Spirit wants. See, so we can be controlled or motivated, unctioned by the Spirit, and have our minds led. Let me say something. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is what your mind works through. Your brain is just an organ in your body. Think about this. What does the Bible say? We have the brain of God. We have the mind of Christ. So we have in us the mind of Christ. And so we all know this. Somebody could have an impaired brain, but their mind is intact. It's just that their brain doesn't allow the motor functions of their body to work properly. They can't communicate, but their mind is okay.
Yes. Yes.
We have the mind of Christ. And if we think on spiritual things, then that becomes much easier. It isn't dulled by natural impulses and things that we meditate on. You see, it's spiritually minded. It's Christ-minded. And I think that's what we have to think, is that in order to be led by the Spirit of God, we're going to have to be spiritually minded. We have to be Christ-minded. And what do I mean by that? You may get a thought, and again, think about this. When it talks about, let's look at verse, so we can jump over here for a second. We're in Romans chapter 8. Let's look at the scripture verse that we've been using, Romans 8, chapter 14. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, I'm going to say himself, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So being led by the Spirit of God, we can be, and so the question is, how do we become more sensitive? How do we become more aware? This is the New Century Version, Romans 8:14. It says, the true children of God are those who let God's Spirit lead them. You have to let him lead you. But you've got to be aware that you are a spirit and that he lives in you. And I believe I shared in verse 16, where it says, the Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Beareth witness, when you look that up, means that it's a witness with. It's a co-witness. It's a witnessing with or a joint witness. What do I mean by that? Everybody knows what a witness is. A witness says, I saw this. I bear witness to this. I saw this. If somebody got you up on stand and said, did you see? Yes, I saw that. So you're a witness. Now, a co-witness would be somebody that come up behind you and say, yep, I agree with that. I see that. I saw that. So there's a co-witness. So that means that your spirit will lead you and bear witness with you. There is a witness by your own human spirit. How do we know that? Romans chapter 1 says, I say the truth, I lie not. What does it say? My conscience, what does it say? Your conscience, doing what? Bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. So your spirit or your conscience will lead you. But that's not all there is to it. Romans chapter 9, 1. Correct. Romans chapter 9, 1. And so this will help a little bit. The New Living Translation says, in the presence of Christ, I speak with other truthfulness. I do not lie. Listen to this. This is the New Living. My spirit, my conscience, and the Holy Spirit confirm. My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm that what I am saying is true. So your spirit will lead you into something. What do I mean by that? Your words, whatever you say, will get planted. Words, from the scripture standpoint, words are like seeds. And if you plant those words and those seeds in your spirit, it will produce fruit. And those seeds will grow up if you constantly say, I can't do this. I'm not too bright. It will dull you. And the choices that you make in life, you will follow that. Your spirit, think of it this way. Your spirit man will lead you to fulfill the words that you've spoken. So when you speak, if you say, it just seems like I always have a problem. It always seems like it's one thing after another. If it's not this, it's this. Everything, and you say that long enough. You say it long enough, what happens is, what does the scripture say? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not what? Doubt in your heart that the things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you sayeth. So when you begin to say things, it's not just the saying of it. It's the saying of it and doubting not and believing that it'll come to pass. So at some point, you keep saying it and saying it and saying it and saying it. Faith comes by hearing, and you say it and then you start believing it. And you are fulfilling what you're saying. And your spirit man will try to lead you into making. How do I mean by that? Thought will come up. Go over here. A thought will come. Do this. And it's not necessarily, in this case, the Holy Ghost leading you. It's your own spirit leading you to make choices to fulfill what you believe. Does that make sense? So if you've been, if you know, if you come up, and this is why I say it's so demonic and so devilish when we have a society and people get in and they say, well, it's just they were born that way. They were raised. No, it's not. It's perpetuation of wrong words that have been spoken and spoken and spoken in settings where they say, this is the way we live. We don't have any money. We're not educated. We're not this. We're not that. And they keep saying it and saying it and saying it. If you could take those same people and just pluck them up and put them in a setting over here where they're taught how to speak properly, they wouldn't live that way. Their spirit would lead them out to get out of those settings. And every one of us know where there's isolated instances of individuals that made something of themselves because they said, I'm not having that. I'm not going to live that way. I'm going to make myself a success. We know of individuals because they just said, I'm not living like that. I'm not going to be poor. I'm not going to be behind. I'm going to get something in life. And for whatever reason, like we say, they're wired, whatever way they were wired, they just said, I'm not living like this. And they started to do what? Say. So your spirit, what am I saying in all of this? Your spirit, your conscience will lead you, but that's not all of it. There's a co-witness. What does it say? My conscience and the Holy Spirit confirm. So even if my spirit, because of the words that I speak, are leading me, you still don't know enough. You don't know enough about everything. You don't know 40 years from now. You don't know what's the right path for you to fulfill the destiny that God has on your life. God has a plan for each one of us, and so it should be Him bearing witness with my spirit. I may say, I'm going to go this way. And He'll say, yep, that's the right way, and there's a witness that I go that way. Or how many have gone and tried to make a choice and there's a hesitancy? I just don't feel like I should do this. That's a witness. That's a co-witness. That's a hesitancy. That's another way could we say it? There's no peace. There's no peace about this choice that I'm about ready to make. Every one of us have had it. And I've been saying this, that every one of us, this is, Brother Hagin taught this for years. We all have lots of choices to make in the day. Some of us more than others, depending on our responsibility. We could have 20 choices to make in the day or 100. But we should be able to make a correct choice every time, in every situation. And it's going to take training. We may miss them. That's all right. Just get up, dust yourself off, and keep moving. But I'm convinced that if we do what? Be spiritually minded, because we have the mind of Christ, that when I go and I try to think about, this is what Brother Hagin used to say, this is the witness or the co-witness. He'd say this, when I think about this, if I have 5 choices in front of me, and I think about this, and I think about this, and this, how do I feel about these 3? It's all the same objective, but I have this, I can do this, or this, or this. How do I feel about these 3? And there should be one that when I think about it, you know what? I feel good about this. When I say feel good, that's exactly who is the real you. It's your spirit. Your conscience should let you know that it seemed right to make this choice. just seems right to go this way. It seems right that we ought to not get in the car and leave. Let's wait another 15 minutes. Or it seems right, you know what, I'm scheduled to go on this flight. I think we ought to cancel it. Just because you have a ticket and you're already packed doesn't mean you get on the plane. You oughtn't just blindly go. You, all the time you're aware down here of what's going on. Even when I'm ready to go, I'm looking. I'm always aware of inside. Should I go now? Am I to get on this plane? I know it was 2012. We went to a meeting that was Hurricane Sandy blew through, and that weekend we had left, I think just before that, we went out to Rhema, and we got out to Houston, and they canceled all the flights. I mean, we couldn't get into Tulsa. We were sitting there, and we went, okay, what can you do? So they said, well, we'll get you on this flight. Okay, fine, we'll miss the first meeting, but that's all right. So we missed our connecting flight, so they'll get us on a 4 o'clock flight. They lied, because by the time we got there, they said, oh, no, that plane's booked. You'll get on at 8 o'clock. I'm like, what? So we said, so we went back and forth, can you get on us another airline, da-da-da-da? No, this is it. Okay, fine. So we're kind of moseying on over. You know, we said, well, it's only 3 o'clock. We got till 8 o'clock. We can just kind of mosey on over to the gate. So as I'm going in here, up comes to my thinking, not a voice, a thought comes, look at the reader board. And I look at the reader board, and it was early. I'm sorry. It was like 1 o'clock. And we had like a 2 o'clock flight. I look up at the reader board. I said, hey, Pastor Greg, there's a 1:30 flight leaving out of this gate. Let's go. We ran. We're running. We got over there, and they said, oh, this plane's booked. I said, fine, put us on standby. And so there were four people on standby. I said, I'm getting on that plane. Pastor Greg and I, we're getting on this plane. I don't care if I have to sit in the toilet area. I'm getting on this plane. We're getting there. So we released our words. So the man before us, he got on. I said, all right, one closer. Where did we get seated? Right outside the restroom. Didn't matter to me. We were on that plane. We got on that plane. And so if I hadn't yielded to the thought, instead of just being, you know, hey, you know, we're going over, and I just looking at it, no, I was aware inside, and the thought came, look at the reader board. I'm looking, I see 1:30 flight. Let's go. We're getting on this plane. And we got there for the meeting. We were ahead of time. So we lost an hour or two. So what? We got on the plane. Yes, yes. See, you got to be aware. Don't be spiritually unaware. That's what I'm trying to say. And here's another scripture where we're reading Romans. But let me just go back. I'll read these in Romans 9. This is the Amplified. It says, my conscience enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. So our spirit is enlightened and prompted by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by enlightened? You know, we keep saying that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. It's not a voice. So often, He is communicating with us, so He is speaking, but sometimes we take speech as a voice. And that's not to say that He doesn't speak to us in a still, small voice. He does. But Brother Hagin said when Jesus appeared to him the last time in 1959, Jesus walked into his room, sat down on his bed in 1959, and he said he heard these footsteps coming down, and he said, who's in the house? And he walked into his room, and he said the hair on his head just stood right up, and he said, it's Jesus. So he sat down on his bed and taught him about the prophet's ministry for an hour and a half. But as he was leaving, Jesus said to him, I will no longer lead you this way ever again, meaning in an open vision. You can be led that way. So he said, I will never lead you this way ever again. And he didn't. And he said, Jesus said to him, the primary way I lead my children is through the inward witness. That's what the scripture says. How does he lead us? Through enlightenment, the inward witness is not necessarily a voice. A witness, if you have to use any word, what does this say here? It's an enlightenment, it's a knowing, it's not necessarily a voice. So every one of us have experienced that in some measure when we just know what to do. And I always ask this question, when you knew what to do, was that a voice? No, it was a thought. And the thought was not a voice. You knew what to do. And that is what the Holy Spirit is there for us. That when we think, that's why when it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding, lean not to your own thoughts, lean to His. So when we don't know what to do, we can ask the Holy Spirit. We don't pray to Him. We ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what should I do? I have this choice to make. What should I do? And here's the reason I say that. Because every one of us have choices to make. And what is the Holy Spirit's job? Jesus said He would lead you into all truth. He will bring things to your remembrance. So He will show you the right path. He will show you what's the right choice for you. And that's why I am very hesitant. If He leads me to do something, He led me to do that. That doesn't mean, and it's the same thing with you. If you're sharing something with someone, you could say to them, look, this is what He led me to do. That may not necessarily be the right choice for you. You need to find out and get quiet. What's the right choice for you? What He may lead me to do dietary-wise is totally different for you. Exercise, life choices, whatever choices you make are for you, because your whole life and all of the relationships and interactions are different than mine. So why would my choice be the same? Can't be. So that's why it's important to know Him, and because then your choices will be right. And I keep saying this, that when you know Him, then the choices, because these are the choices people that we get confronted with. Well, I need to have an operation. Should I? I don't know. You need to find out. Ask the Holy Spirit. What seems right to do when you think about having it? And not having it, what gives you peace? What seems right? And whatever seems right to do, That's what you do, and regardless of what people think or say, because that's what's right. And that will be success for you. May not be for me. Maybe he knows something about you that pertains to you, and that choice doesn't pertain to me. He may say, I want you to stand. And he may not want that for somebody else. See? Same thing with a job. Same thing with anything. Your children, your marriage, whatever it is, those choices, what seems right? And what seems right will be right, because he will lead you into all truth. And I'm trying to hook up here, give some things that you can chew on here. Let's jump over here for a moment. Let's go over to Luke chapter 1 just for a moment, and then we'll go to the book of Acts. But look at Luke chapter 1. And we can see here some insight in Scripture. We're talking about what seems right, what seems good. I've become more sensitive to this than anything else. And let me just say this, that the measure of success in your choices, you're going to have to start, well, let me just say it this way, you start where you're at. And so you start, and so the complexity of choices, or even the responsibility that one has, God is not going to give a novice a responsibility that hasn't had some experience with the Holy Spirit in making some choices, because then it could be a failure. So in any measure of our usefulness for God, as we start and we become more successful in this area, God will give us more responsibility. And he'll start speaking to us more. He'll wake us up. I want you to go do this. I want you to go do this. I want you to sow this amount of money into this ministry. I want you to go help, like Pastor Judy. I want you to get up and go do this. If she hadn't obeyed that thought, there'd been a lot of people impacted by her choice. Same with Pastor Jesse. He obeyed the thought that came. We knew it, and Pastor Greg and I weren't going to say anything. I said, he's coming, Pastor Judy's going to come, and there's another musician that just hasn't showed up yet. And Pastor Jesse, we were sitting in a diner one time, he said, and we didn't say anything. We said zero. He's sitting there and he said, okay, what do I need to do? Need to do for what? Move. And we didn't answer him. We just sat there and looked at him. We went on eating. We didn't even answer him. I'm serious. He was sitting there going, he went back to eating. We didn't even answer him. And so finally he came, and I think what we did say to him is we said, eventually, we said, well, okay, praise God. He said, but it's more than just you. You better find out from Keisha and the family whether or not they want to move. Because it's not just you. And he finally came back and he said both of them were walking, crossing each other somewhere in the house, in the kitchen, and they looked at each other and said, what? He said, we got to move. Yeah, you too. Yep, we got to move. So they both knew it. The Spirit of God had spoken to both, And that's a big choice. When somebody obeys to the measure that he did, let me tell you something, that's a big choice that he made. He moved, packed up his home and his house, and turned his church over to somebody. That's no joke. That's a big deal. And God is going to reward him accordingly, because lives were in the balance. God needed him here. And so it's the same thing. We start where we are with little things, and as we become sensitive and we obey, he gives us more. And we become more useful to who? To God. And we become more successful. But Luke chapter 1, this will show you, this I like here. Look at verse 3. It seemed good to who? To me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to do what? To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. It seemed good to write this letter. It didn't say, thus saith the Lord, Luke, thou shalt write this book. It didn't say an angel appeared to him. It did, Lukey, or whatever you're going to call him, right? It didn't say Jesus appeared to him. It didn't say he had a heavenly visitation. It seemed good to me to write this. So that's why when we make choices, what seems good to do? What seems right to do? It's your conscience, it's your heart. Back to the heart. Here's another right in the same book. Go over to Luke 2. Luke chapter 2. And let's look at verse 25. This is about Simeon and Anna. And we know the story here. And it says, behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the what was upon him? The Holy Ghost was upon him. And what? It was what? Revealed. Didn't say he spoke to him, did it? Said it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And what? Verse 27, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law. So it was revealed to him. He probably was in one part of the temple. It was revealed to him. Now go over here. It was revealed to him. So he ended up being at the right place at the right time to see the baby Jesus. And when you continue, even in that story, you can see over in verse 36 of that same chapter, and it says, and there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher, and she was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. Verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now look, verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So she also was prompted or revealed to her, go over there also. So she showed up at the right time, at the right place. Doesn't say she had a heavenly visitation. It was revealed to her. Go over there. When you look at some of the other Luke 2:27, when you look at that particular scripture, talking about Simeon, and it says, and he came by the Spirit into the temple. When you see that particular scripture verse, some of the other translations read, and he was led by the Spirit. Most of the other translations say he was led by the Spirit into the temple, or into the that temple area. The Revised Standard Version says he was inspired by the Spirit. The NIV says he was moved by the Spirit. So he was directed, moved, inspired. It was revealed to him, come over to this area of the temple. We have a better covenant. We have the Helper living in us, not upon us, but in us. And so how much more shall we be able to be led and directed and moved? Now let's go to the book of Acts for a few moments. And let's, there's a number here of scriptures we could look at, but let's look at Acts 15. Acts 15. And let's look at verse 20, starting in 22. It says, Then pleased it the apostles and elders. What did it do? It pleased the apostles and ancients. So that's another way of saying it seemed good. It pleased them. It pleased the apostles and ancients with the whole church to choose men of their own company and to send to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now look at verse 25. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Look at verse 28. For it seemed good to who? The Holy Ghost and to us. That's the co-witness. It seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us. My spirit bearing witness with the Holy Spirit. Said what? To lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. It seemed good. Look at verse 34. It says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Notwithstanding, it did what? It pleased Silas. The New King James Version says it seemed good to Silas to remain there. It seemed good. Now, you can see why it seemed good for Silas to stay there, because there ended up being a contention between Barnabas and who? Paul. Over who? Mark. And so it seemed good. He didn't know why. It just seemed good to stay there a little longer. And so when the contention came, Paul then said, oh, I got somebody. Silas. He was at the right place at the right time. And that's why for us, this is so key. We don't, you know, when it seems good to make a choice, sometimes to your mind it's like, this is crazy. This makes absolutely no sense. Why? You don't know everything. But it'll be revealed to you why. In what? In due time. You'll see why. And that's why don't be moved by people. They're not God. And so the choices that God leads you by His Spirit, you don't answer to people. What does the scripture say? We are led by the Spirit of God. You're not led by people. You're not led by pastors. We're here to assist, to bring the word of God, to provide counsel when necessary, to help nurture the flock. But we're not lead. We don't lead you. We're an example. We live exemplary lives, but we're not to lead you in your spirit. That's God's job. He knows everything about you. You're not led by prophets, and you're not led by prophecy. We have a more sure word of prophecy. And so even when words, prophetic words, are spoken over you, this is not to diminish in any way a prophet's ministry. We respect that office. But Brother Hagin said it for year after year after year in his ministry. He said, he would say, sister or brother, I feel impressed to share this word. He said, if it doesn't bear witness, he would say, I'm a man. I could miss it. That's being humble. I could miss it. If this doesn't bear witness with your heart, with your spirit, then throw it out. Put it on the shelf. And so we are not led by even prophecy. What does your spirit say? How does that affect your heart when you hear these words? If it's nothing, guess what you do? Just put it on the shelf. Maybe it hasn't been revealed yet. But we're not to act, because what happens a lot of times is somebody will give a prophetic word. You should do this, thus saith the Lord. You should sell your house and move. Or somebody should say, thus saith the Lord, you should marry this person. And then they go ahead and do these things without asking God. And lives have been ruined. And so we are to be led by the Spirit of God. It should seem good to do whatever your choice is that you're going to do. And if we will just do that, start there, you'll begin to see success in every choice. You know, I'm convinced of this. I'm so convinced of it that, you know, when I reflect on choices that I made, I have to be honest. You know, I have to say, you know what? Choices that I've made about dietary things. I'm thinking about that. I got myself in a real fix. I was 6 months from dying, and I remember reflecting years back saying, you know, I was getting little nudges to stop this. And I ignored the prompts. I ignored the nudge. I ignored the thought. I just like this. I like this. I like it. So I did it. Until you hit a brick wall. And then you're back to Papa saying, help! And I think about that and I said, now, wait a minute. I ended up in this situation because I did not obey. I didn't listen clearly enough. Running, just poor eating habits. But he was nudging. And that's why when people say, oh, isn't it unfortunate that person died in that plane crash? I'm convinced, just like the people that were in 9/11, I'm convinced God was speaking to them. We have members in this congregation, some of them are still here, some of them have left, said, I remember John Blakely played drums. He said he worked for, he worked at the time for Merrill Lynch as a lawyer. And they were in, I don't know, building one or two, I don't remember which one, but he said, the Lord, the thought said, go empty your office. What? Empty my office? He got a prompt, a knowing, go in and get all of your stuff out of your office, the key stuff, get it out, boxes. Now he's still working for him. Why would you do that? He obeyed. And after he did that, he was delayed getting into work one day because somebody parked a car in front of his driveway and he couldn't get out. And he got delayed 20 minutes, half an hour. Get it all worked out and then take his son to school and da-da-da-da-da. And by the time he got there, it had already happened. See, but if he hadn't obeyed, he'd have lost all of his work, his papers, everything. Thinking about other people that supernaturally were spared. But God, if you listen and you just become more aware on the inside about choices, sometimes we don't have to take an experience. I guess that's another way. Some of the things that we experience, we don't have to. We don't have to. See, and God will still work all things to our good, even if we miss it and we go through it. He's merciful. He's loving. He's kind. He will still bring us through. But my point is, some things we don't have to experience if we'll listen. And my thing is, okay, I missed it, but I recognize his voice. I recognize it now. Yes. He was, and I'm listening. Doesn't mean I may not make a mistake here or there, but I'm listening for his direction. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go here? Here's another thing. Even the friends that you have, talking about young people, old people, doesn't matter. God has a plan for our life. And the people that we surround ourselves with can either enhance or detract from that. If God has a plan, I'm thinking about you, God, like for instance, Pastor Jesse. God has supernaturally woven his life so God has put people around him to do what? To develop that in him that God wants to use. So if you hang around the wrong people, you will never see that come to pass because you're around the wrong people. God could supernaturally, if he has a call on your life, he may say, no, them folks, I don't want you hanging around with them. I want you to separate yourself and come over here, hang around this group of people. They're going to do what? Impart things into you. Impart words, anointings, gifts to do what? To prepare you for the call on your life. And so we don't have, even where our friends are concerned, it shouldn't be our choice, it should be God's choice. Who am I going to be friends with? And don't just hang out with folks just because I feel like I have to. No, you don't. You need to find out what seems right. What seems right? Who are the people I should be hanging with? See? I mean, you could pick every little thing. Every little thing in life, every choice. We need to find out what's right, what seems right. Find out from him, because then it'll go right. It'll be right in your life. It'll be right. And I'm convinced the same thing. We could be investing in money. People do it all the time. I got this extra money. I want to invest. I want to do something with my portfolio. What should I do? We got a whole Wall Street. What are they doing? They're using their brain. One minute they're up, next minute they're losing, they're down. We should be always, if God directs us, we should be able to make millions with money just on his leading. Why? Because we're being what? Spiritually minded, not carnally minded. Not like I'm so smart, no, you ain't so smart. See, I heard Brother Hagin say this. Young man, he didn't have hardly any, he had no money. He was poor. And he began to exercise these principles, walking in faith and being led by the Spirit of God. Took a meager amount of money And by the time he was 30, he had made multi-millions. I said multi-millions. And when he got older, he hit a billion. He had nothing to start. And when people would come to him to make investments, now he's got lots of money. Now the choices, big choices, big dollars, big ducats, big money. And what he would do is he'd say, well, this was his line. I have to speak to somebody else first about this. He didn't say who. He just said, I have to speak to someone about this. I'll let you know. And he'd say he'd get quiet for 3 days and just be quiet, and then he would be led by what seemed right. And this is exactly what he'd say. He'd say he was led by what seemed right to do. He said sometimes he'd say, boy, this looks great. This is a winner. But down here, it's like, don't do it. Don't do it. And then he'd say there's other times in the natural, it looks like this is the dumbest thing. And his heart would say, do it. It's how he made millions and ultimately billionaire. So it can be done, and God has no problem with getting us to be what he wants. Is he wants us to be successful. But we're going to have to give him the allowance to lead us. We can't. I'm learning. Don't be so smart. You know, what I like is Dr. Radke, we're taking these leadership classes and courses that we have, a syllabus. And one thing he constantly stresses to those in leadership, don't be the smartest person in the room. Come in and be the dumbest person in the room. Don't. What does he mean by that? Even though you may think you have the answer, let the answer and the solutions come from the team of people around you. You have the one who knows everything about everything in you. Don't be so smart. Lean not to your own understanding. Doesn't mean you don't investigate. Doesn't mean that you don't get information. But when you get it all together, and you got it all together, and you look at it, and you go, okay, this one really looks good. I know about this. Okay, what should I do? What's the one that seems right to do? If the apostles and the early church were led by it seemed right, then it is right. That is the inward witness. That's your conscience. That's the real you. We're led by our conscience, our heart. Any of this making sense to anybody?
Yes.
I tell you, it's... When you begin to, not begin, but when you get this working in your life, every moment of every day, anything else, you're like almost lost because you're like, I can't do this by myself. Life is too complex. The things that get thrown at me are so complex that I couldn't possibly know what to do. I may think I know what to do, but to be a success, I really don't know what to do, and I need to ask him. I just need to ask somebody. That's a good line. I need to ask somebody for some advice. He lives in me, and he wants to help. He was sent here to help us, to guide us. He's our advocate. Hallelujah.